So today we are going to look at two passages of scripture. We're in this series entitled, He Shall Be Called. We're looking at the names that Isaiah listed for Jesus in his prophecy from Isaiah 9:6. So we'll look at Isaiah 9:6. Today we're going to look at this name of Mighty God. So Isaiah 9:6 and then Philippians 2, 5 through 11. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let the same mind be in you that also was in Jesus Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. You know, one of the things I miss most about having young children is bedtime. Remember those days? Maybe you're in the midst of them right now. That time at the end of the day when you would be with your child in bed and you'd catch up on what was going on in their lives and read and then pray your prayers. I remember one particular bedtime with Allie, my daughter, who was about 6 years old at the time. We were reading some book. I can't remember which book it was at this time, but the reading sparked in her some theological questions. "Daddy," she said, "God created everything, right?" "Yeah, God created everything, the earth, the animals, people, everything that exists. God created," I said to her. "Wow," she said. "So God created the whole universe, the stars and the solar system and the planets, the space, the whole thing?" "Yep," I said. "Without God, none of these things would exist." There was a long pause, which made me a little nervous. "God must be really, really big." "Yeah, I would think so," I said. That wasn't the end of the question. She was on a roll, so she just kept going. She was a theology major in college. "Daddy, the universe, the earth, it was created a long time ago, right?" "Yeah, it's been around a long time." Another long pause. "God must be really old." "Yeah, God is really old. And God was around for a while, even before he created all this." You know, can I be honest with you here for a second? Sometimes it's really hard to be a pastor. You know, the pressure on us, I mean, all parents feel this pressure when kids ask questions about God, right, that are hard to answer. But see, you have an out. You can just say, "Well, go talk to the pastor. He knows." I've actually had parents come up and say, "Okay, ask him his question. Ask him your question." But see, for us, you know, we're the experts. And so there's a little bit of pressure. "Daddy, who created God?" Another long pause. "You know, Allie, it's pretty late. And I'm kind of tired, and tomorrow night your mom will be home." She was traveling, I think. "She's going to read to you. That would be a good question for her." Here's the point I want to make. Ah, this beautiful hymn that the choir just sang. It just fills you with a wonder, doesn't it? Of God. How big God is. God's mysterious in some ways. Beyond our comprehension, exceeds our understanding, you know, surpasses our intellect. God is so big that words are inadequate, aren't they? They fail to really describe. Listen to how the Westminster Confession, one of the confessions of our church, attempts to describe this awesome God. Infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, infinite, infallible, independent, not standing in need of any creatures, but only manifesting his own glory. Wow, I don't even know what some of those words mean. They fail to capture the bigness of God. Well, back to bedtime with Allie. We finished our reading, and as we did every night, we prayed. And I asked Allie, what do you want to pray about tonight, honey? She said, well, that mommy gets home safe. She was traveling for her work at the time. For her teacher, for her friends, for her grandpa, who recently died. That she would love God. And last but not least, for Willie, her guinea pig. Wow, the contrast was striking, isn't it? I mean, one minute, we're pondering this huge, transcendent God who is before the beginning and after the ending, who spoke and the universe snapped into being, who shatters our imagination. And the next moment, we're talking about this same God, and we're praying for a guinea pig named Willie and other concerns of a six-year-old. One moment we're contemplating this immense, glorious God who created and who sustains the entire universe, for whom 10,000 years is just a moment. And the next we're praying to the same God, a God who enters into our world, who is present in a little girl's bedroom as she prays with her daddy. Here is the mighty God. The mighty God that we see in Isaiah's prophecy. The mighty big God who is all-powerful and all-knowing and eternal. And the same mighty God who is small enough, for lack of a better word, to be personal and compassionate and intimate. Mighty God who is big enough to handle the affairs of the world, and mighty God who is small enough to be interested in the prayers of a little girl concerning her guinea pig. You know what I'm describing here, right? It's the God of the incarnation. Jesus Christ. We often think of mighty God, don't we? As the God, I mean, I always think of creation when I think of, now there is a display of power. God spoke and the world was created. Wow. Or I think of the sunset, you know, or the parting of the Red Sea. Mighty God, big, powerful, mighty God. And yet, the power of God is perhaps most clear in the incarnation. The most powerful intervention in human history doesn't look powerful at all, does it? It's a little baby. in a manger. Wow. You know, sometimes we think that God created Jesus and sent him to earth kind of as a special envoy or something. But no, he was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as John puts it. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John wanted to be so clear, as does Paul in Philippians, that Jesus was there from the very beginning. As one author puts it so beautifully, the power which created the galaxies and set the stars in their courses was contained in a tiny baby in a manger. Man, that's pretty mind-boggling, isn't it? And then Paul in Philippians talks about this God. We think this is an ancient hymn, that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave being born in human likeness. Do you see the mystery? Do you see the wonder of the incarnation? Do you see why all mortal flesh should be silent? Wow. Do you see the genius of the incarnation? You see, the genius is we need this kind of God, don't we? We need this great, big, powerful, all-knowing God, don't we? And we also need this intimate, personal God who comes in close. We need this God who is powerful. Boy, this mighty God. When we hit hard times in life, don't we need this God? When we come to the end of our own rope, our own resources, when we're tired and we can't keep going, you know, all of us, at one time or another in our lives, we realize that we need something bigger than ourselves. We need a power that can help us get through life. We need someone, something that can give us energy, someone that can help us love beyond what we naturally love. There comes a time almost in all of our lives when we realize this. You know, maybe it's that you're amazing in the business world, but you come home and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle a teenager, or you're not so good at relationships and intimacy. Wow, during times like that, you need this big God, don't you? Who can change you and empower you to be a different person. We need a power bigger than ourselves to keep moving forward. We need strength. We also need this big God when we're confused. I mean, everything is thrown up in the air today, isn't it? We're not sure what is right and wrong. Lots of confusion, confused about our futures. We need guidance when we face these big decisions. We need a God who is all wise, who can see the past and the future, who created us, who knows what's best for us. At that time, we need this mighty God who is what? The mighty counselor, or the wonderful counselor that Tom spoke so eloquently of last week. Wonderful counselor who can guide us. We need this big God when we're fearful, when the world seems like it's spinning out of control and there's lots of fear and uncertainty. It's during those times that we need to have faith in this big God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who has not changed in the winds of times, who is a solid rock upon which we can build our lives. We need this God to meet the deepest yearnings of our heart, don't we? These yearnings for significance and purpose. Perhaps when we realize that nothing here on earth, not money, not material possessions, not success, not new experiences, not great vacations, none of these can satisfy those yearnings. We need this big God who's big enough to satisfy those deep yearnings. Ah, we need this big God, what? When we face death. And we come to that point where we realize, either our own death or the death of a loved one, that there's not much we can do in the face of death. We need a big God who has conquered death and gives us eternal life. We need this mighty God who is big, don't we? And we need this mighty God who is small. It's not enough to just have this big, powerful God, transcendent God. What if that God is aloof or capricious or doesn't care or is even malevolent? You see, this is what much of the ancient world thought about gods, first century. They viewed their gods, the Greeks and the Romans, they were very religious people. They believed in gods and gods who were more powerful than humans, but for the most part, these gods didn't care about humanity. The gods of the Greeks and the Romans, they saw humans as what? Their playthings. They couldn't fathom a God who cared about humanity. A God who became human. Blew their minds. Biggest stumbling block for the Greeks was that this God, Jesus Christ, would become human. And not only human, but as Philippians say, it says, would die on a cross. A criminal's death. Oh, they couldn't believe it. It was just unheard of. As Celsus, a first century cynic, once wrote to a friend, he said, you know, these Christians, they have this ridiculous idea that God takes an interest in them. That God cares about them. Boy, we need a God, don't we? Who's not only big and powerful, but a God who takes an interest in us. Who cares about us, who pays attention to us. We need a God who will come all the way down. The one who gave up his robe of royalty for the towel of a servant, as it says in Philippians. A God who becomes one of us, the King who stoops. Wow, this Philippians passage. You know, I had a friend in seminary. He wrote his dissertation on these six verses. So packed. Describes this God, the downward descent of Jesus Christ became one of us, not only one of us, but a servant, a slave, it says, who gave up his life for us. Wow, we need this humble God, don't we? Who pursues us, who comes to us, comes into our world and meets us right where we are in life, not just once, but over and over and over again. You know, I read recently about the ancient Mayan civilization, specifically about their religious practices. And from what researchers can gather, Mayan families went through a bloodletting ceremony each day in an attempt to appease or communicate with the gods, somehow move toward the gods to get their attention. And their movement in their religion was very much them trying to find God, trying to move toward God. They had to beg God to be benevolent, to show an interest in them. And this God of the incarnation is so different. Do you see it? This God that comes to us, that enters our world, and not only our world, but moves into the messiest parts of our lives. When we're broken and when we're hurting. And he cares about us. And he continues to do that. Even when we turn our back on him, even when we walk away. You know, I was talking to a friend recently. I said, the most amazing characteristic of God for me is humility. That God just keeps welcoming us and forgiving us and caring for us amazing. When we wander, either intentionally or maybe unintentionally, there he is waiting, arms open. Friends, I don't know about you, but I need this kind of God. And I need this God of carnation when I'm hurting. We need an empathetic God, don't we? A God who understands, who knows what it's like to lose a loved one. A God who knows disappointment. A God who knows rejection. A God who knows what it means to get hurt by a friend and have to forgive. You know, I talk with people who are in pain, and I know from my own life, you know, what's the best thing when you're in pain is finding someone who has been through a similar painful experience and they can empathize. This is the God that we see in the incarnation, this God who can empathize, who's sympathetic, who understands us, knows what it's like. We need a God who wept at the death of a friend, wept. We need a God who freely offered forgiveness to a woman caught in the very act of adultery, wanted to set her free. We need a God who knows firsthand what it is to be in pain, to feel the hurt of rejection and betrayal, to be all alone. We need this kind of God. We need this Jesus who came down and lived in our neighborhood for a while, don't we? Wow, this is the good news of the incarnation, is we have this kind of God, this God who is big enough and small enough. Boy, I'm thankful we have this kind of God, aren't you? I'm thankful as a pastor that I have this kind of God because, you know, in 30 years of ministry, I have walked into so many situations, I don't know what to do. Whether it's a suicide or a tragedy, an accident, a divorce, you know, whatever it is, I walk into those situations, I'm glad. I have this kind of God, this mighty God who knows all things and is all powerful and can turn things around, but is also empathetic and understands and hurts. I've walked into many hospital situations. One I remember was a young man who had just had a couple of seizures during a week, and then finally they examined him and said, we have to take him into surgery right away. He has a brain tumor. 14-year-old. And I remember walking into that hospital waiting room, and here was family and friends, probably 20 people or so. You know what? We all needed this kind of God in this situation. Do you see it? And as he went into surgery, we gathered around and held hands and we prayed. And we were scared. And we realized there was not much we could really do except depend on this mighty God, this big God. And so we prayed to the God who created the universe, the God of all power and strength, this mighty big God, the God who holds all things in his hands, who is eternal and has conquered death, who sees the past and the future. We prayed to this mighty God. And we also prayed to this same God, the God who understood our fears and our pain, our weakness, the God who was sympathetic and understood, the God who was interested in us and came all the way down, the God who is near, who knows what it's like to live in this broken world. This is the God of the incarnation. This is the mighty God. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. God, we thank you that you are God who is big and mighty, powerful, who can handle all situations in life and in death. We thank you that you are also the same God who came near to us, who came in weakness and vulnerability. A God who takes great interest in us and loves us. and walks with us. Lord, may the wonder of the incarnation fill our hearts this Advent. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.